We want to welcome you to the cross, and we're so glad you're here. If you're visiting, thanks for coming. We're so glad you're here. Trust that you're experiencing God today. We believe God's alive and active and is here with us even right now. As I said earlier, we exist here to become a disciple that makes disciples of Christ. That's what we believe. The Word of God is very clear in the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. And that's what we live out in our lives. And as we do that, we see the vision of planting churches all across the world. We're in a series right now. We're actually ending a series this week called Ghost Stories. And if you have your Bibles, you can turn with me. I'm going to be predominantly in the book of Galatians chapter 5. But also, you have if you have your Bible on an app, YouVersion app, you can click on that and you'll see all the notes. If you go to the More tab, you see a live event. You can click under live event. And when you click under the live event, you'll have all the notes there for you, the scriptures as well. Also, there's a link in there for the past scriptures or the past messages over the past 3 weeks. So the last three messages, if you'd like to listen to them and say, hey, I missed a week or two, you can go in there and click on that as well, and you can listen to that, download it, or you can subscribe to a podcast, whatever you like. But we're on a series right now talking about ghost stories, really dealing with the fact that the spirit world all around us, with ghosts, zombies, goblins, all this. We just had the big Halloween event, and you know, you see all these different faces, people dressed up and scary, and it cracked me up. We were going out last night with the kids, and I saw, was with Lanny's youngest, Hudson. If you know Hudson, he's, you know, he's a pistol right there, and he was going around, and every time he would see somebody that was scary, you would think as a little boy, he'd be scared, but immediately he'd erupt into this belly laughter and go, look at him. And it would just make me laugh. And it was almost funny because those that were scary were kind of like, this is not supposed to be funny. You know, but he would just, this belly laughter, he'd be like, that's so great, you know. And it's funny because when you look at it in our lives, a lot of times elements like that, such as ghosts, zombies, whatever it may be, invoke fear inside of us. And when you look at it, we ask ourselves within the world, is that even really real? Is it authentic? Is there anything to that? And what we've kind of unpacked over the last 4 weeks is that the truth is many of them things are real. And they generate from the demonic activity of the devil. And we talked about in the first week, knowing your enemy. We had four biblical principles. Let me lay them out for you. The first one was to know your enemy. You have to know Satan's characteristics, his traits, how he plans on tempting you, what he plans on doing. Because whether you want to stick your head in the sand and think that he's not real, the truth is he is. He is real, and you have to know that. And in order to attack anything, you have to know who your enemy is. The second week, we looked how you have to be prepared. You have to be prepared. If you go into a battle, you've got to put on armor. And believe it or not, the Bible gives us in Ephesians 6 armor for us to put up, and even a weapon, which is the Word of God. And the third week, we talked about how we have to attack first. The greatest element of surprise is the attack. And not being on the defensive, but the offensive, because Scripture tells us in Matthew 16, that the gates of hell will not prevail. Well, why do you have a gate? It's to keep something out. The enemy knows that we have authority in Christ. The problem is, as a church, we often don't exercise that authority. And because of that, we're operating on the defensive instead of the offensive. And that's not God's plan. So that's the third step. The fourth step we're going to talk about today is walking in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. Now, all of us are on a journey of faith, but the choices that you make will determine which path you are on. We're all on a journey. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 13, Jesus says it like this. He says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and the gate is wide for many who choose that way. But the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only few ever find it. Now, this is one of those situations that when you look at life, Jesus was trying to get their attention. He's trying to map things out for them, to tell them that there are paths in life. Andy Stanley says it like this. He calls it the principle of the path in a book that he read called The Principle of the Path. He says like this, direction, not intention, determines your destination. Now, think about that for a minute. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. You can say all you want that you are headed to Mexico, but if you're going north, it's going to take a long time to get there, right? I mean, you can say you're going to Mexico, but if you go north, you're going north. Because direction, I could convince everybody along the way, all the way up to Canada, that I'm going to Mexico. And they're going to think you're a raving lunatic or you like to take the scenic route, one of the two, because the reality is you go south. And it's so common. It so makes such clear sense to us in the physical sense. But as we've talked about so often in this series, that the spirit world, spiritually in our lives, there seems to be a disconnect. We don't realize how just as practical as things are spiritually, so are or physically, so are they spiritually. And what Jesus is trying to get their attention is that the path towards hell is easy. In other words, just follow it. Just live life, and that's the path. But if you want to live a life for him, if you want to walk the straight and narrow, it's going to be a more difficult journey. But when you find it, it's worth it. But the reality is there are moments in our life when we're simply lost. And we don't know what to do or where to go. One of the things we love to do with our kids, every Thanksgiving we go hunting with her father, her father, Mandy's father-in-law. And the girls will usually stay and they'll do their shopping thing. And her dad owns a deer lease down in Star City, Arkansas. And so the boys, ever since they were little, now obviously they didn't hunt at the age of 2 and 3. But the moment they were potty trained, that was the rule, right? It's like, no, we're not destroying the whole trip for that. When they're potty trained, they get to go. So that was kind of a motivation. So we would go, and we go every year in Thanksgiving, the first part of Thanksgiving week, we go to Star City, Arkansas, and pretty much what the boys do is find the mud puddles. You know, they just go jump in the mud, and we go out, and we hunt on a little deer lease they have there. It's usually just a couple of days that we go. Well, one time, a couple of years ago, I was there, and you got to understand, this deer lease is, how many have ever been in the woods? Like, I'm talking the woods, not like city woods. I'm talking like woods where there's no lights, nothing, you know. And you know one thing. When you are in the woods, you're fine with sunlight. But the moment the sun starts going down, everything changes. Because what you could once see, all of a sudden it becomes really dark. When I mean dark, I mean dark. And so this specific deer lease we're at with my father-in-law, he's been there since he was, you know, a teenager. So, you know, for a long time, he knows every fawn trail that you can go on, you know, oh, go here, go there, you know, oh, where are you? Go here. You know, it's like they know every little tree. And it cracks me up because I've been going there, I guess, for the last 10 or 12 years. But here's the reality of it. I go one time, a couple times, you know, for a short amount of time. It's not like I take a map and study and know where the trees are. And so it never fails, you know, as I've been going, used to, when I would go, he would take me and he'd say, okay, I'm going to walk you out to the stand. Here's the stand. I'm going to walk away. We're good. I'm good. And then he'd say, you know, when it was time to leave that night, he'd come and park the four-wheeler where I could see it. And I'd just walk that four-wheeler and I'm good. Well, you know what? We've been doing this for a few years. So he decides this guy's got it figured out, right? And so he tells me, hey, you know where the guy's Kevin. It's actually Mandy's cousin. You know where Kevin's stand is? That's where you're going to be at today. Okay, great. He said, you know where that is? Kind of do. You know, he's like, yeah. So, you know, you go out there and the first time he shows you and you kind of get an idea. Well, this particular time, I'm sitting up there and nothing's happening. You know, you're it's pretty much time to get down from the stand and go. And I begin to realize, I'm like, I'm not really 100% sure how to get back. And I kind of start thinking, okay, I know the direction. And believe it or not, I'm actually not directionally challenged. I know, you know, some people are. My sister Angela, we used to joke, she is directionally challenged. My mom would always say, if there were two doors in a bathroom, she'd get lost because she'd say, which one did I go in, you know? And so there's this confusion, but usually I can figure out where I'm going. And so I'm sitting here and I'm going, hang on a second. Which way do I go? So I begin to ponder it and think about it. And then all of a sudden, this panic starts to set in, right? Because you're going, I'm not really sure. Well, we live in a day and age. Just pick up your phone and call, right? Have you ever been in the woods? That was my first question. There is no cell service. And you're like, okay, Jesus. Then these thoughts start clearing in the back of your mind. Where they are, South Arkansas, there has never, well, let me back up. In my lifetime that I knew of, there's never been bears. It's just not one of the things you usually see. So you're usually pretty safe. You know, snakes, but it's cold. You don't have snakes. There's never bears. But recently they've been telling us how this is so cool. There's bears out here now. There's a couple bears, you know. And you're thinking, are you kidding me? And I had seen the tracks, you know. So all of a sudden, my mind starts racing. I start thinking, I'm going, wait a second, there's bears out here. And, you know, you're trying to be safe so you don't have your gun locked and, you know, ready to go. But you're thinking, should I walk with this thing cocked and ready? Because I might. But then if I fall, what if I, you know, all these thoughts, you know what I'm thinking. So I'm going through this moment. I can't even find cell service. So finally, you know, I have my phone out. I'm trying to use it as a compass. And finally, you hit a cell tower, right? And you're like, oh, thank God. Here's where I am. You see that little blue dot, you know, and you're trying to think, oh, I am nowhere near where I need to be. But here's the problem. As you walk to it, you don't end up getting there because you lose service along the way. So you're tracking with me here. The point of it is this. In life, there are moments where you're in the middle of the woods. You have no cell service. You have no direction. And what are you looking for? You're looking for a path. So as I was walking, I began to pray. Oh, God. Because I can't call my father-in-law, you know. I'm thinking, let me hit a path. Give me some path. And eventually I began to find this path. And I found my way out. And, of course, you get back to camp. Man, where were you? You were on the stand for a long time. You were out there. Yeah. Yeah, you know, we're checking things out. We're making sure we're good, right? You're like, you ain't going to tell them you're lost, you know. I didn't know where in the world I was. But you have this fear that is gripping you the whole time. And here's what I know. In your life, there are moments where you're in the middle of the woods, and you may be there today. Fear is gripping you. You're starting to say, where's the direction? Which direction am I headed? Where am I going? What do I do? But I'm here today to tell you there is someone that can give you direction. And that's Jesus Christ. And when you're facing the enemy, one of the greatest tools the enemy does is to bring confusion into your life and make you begin to doubt the direction you know is real. When I was in the woods, let's just be real. I think I'm going north and I find out I'm going south. When you finally get service, there's no good feeling in your heart, right? You're thinking, and all of a sudden, your whole world begins to spin. And here's what I know. In your life, you may be at that spinning moment. But we're going to talk about today here. I want to read a scripture to you. And in this scripture, it gives clear indication of how you can find direction. And it gives clear indication of how you can learn to walk in His Spirit and follow His plan. So look with me in Galatians chapter 5. I want to walk through this. Because this is really, when you say, what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? What does that even mean? How do I know if I'm even lost? Well, I'm going to show you today a very clear scripture that tells you if you're lost or if you're on track. And gives you clear indication of what to do. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 16. Paul writes and he says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. That's a clear indicator, isn't it? It's saying, He's going to guide your life. Let the Holy Spirit guide you. Now, he wants to explain to you what this means. He says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you're not free to carry out your good intentions. Pretty clear, isn't it? In other words, dark and light cannot mix. There is always going to be a constant war within you of doing right and doing wrong. You've seen the little, you know, angel and demon, you know, that little parody. It goes on in every one of our lives. All of us. Should I do this? Should I not do this? Should I do this? Should I not do this? And there's this constant battle. And what Paul is saying is that's normal. Every one of you face it. All of you face it. We all go through it. But you have to understand how to listen to the voice of the Spirit. You have to know how to let the Spirit guide your lives. Because they're constantly going to be fighting. So he gives a definition behind it. He says, when you are directed, in verse 18, by the Spirit, you are not under the law, obligation of the law of Moses. when you follow, and let me pause there. What was he saying? In other words, what they understood the law of Moses as, well, let me just explain it in our terms, is religious. You're not under all the religious aspects. In other words, works doesn't save you. You cannot do anything to earn your salvation. He's telling them because in their mind, they thought they had to live according to the law of Moses to be saved. But Paul's trying to bring it back. And if you read through the book of Galatians, you'll understand what that means. But more so, he's saying religion doesn't save you. Coming to church doesn't save you. That's not what saves you. You're only saved through God's grace and following him, living a life for him. So go on in verse 19, though. He says, but when you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. So now he's going to list out some areas. So if you're saying today, hey, where am I? In other words, Jesus put it like this. He says, you'll know a tree by its fruit. You'll know a tree by its fruit. So we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. So in knowing a tree by its fruit, in other words, Paul's using this example saying, if you're living in line to the sinful nature, in other words, if you're walking the broad path, if the broad path is what you're walking on, here is going to be the fruit that's in your life. Here's going to be what's coming out of you. So today, if you're here saying, am I walking in the spirit or am I walking in the flesh? This is going to be a great example for you. So look at it. He says, if you're walking in the sinful nature, here's what comes out. He says, sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility. Let me just stop right there, because it's right there that we're like, yeah, that's not good. Oh, that's not good, is it? Oh, that's not good. Then I like it. He goes into some of these and you're like, hold up, Paul, back off, buddy. Listen, he says quarreling. Hey, come on. Everybody has a little fight every now and then, right? He says jealousy. He's meddling now, isn't he? Outburst of anger. Come on, dude. Everybody gets mad every now and then. Then he goes on. He says selfish ambition. Dissension, division, envy. He could take some of those out, couldn't he? Oh, I guess all of y'all have it figured out then. Then he goes on, drunkenness, wild parties, and sins like these. Listen to what he says. Let me tell you this again, as I have before. Anyone living this sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. That's not what they want to hear. In other words, he's saying, that's the wide path. You don't even have to try. You just walk through life and everything's going to be just fine. That's what's going to come out of you. In other words, what he's saying is, if these are the fruit that's produced in your life, if you can see this coming out of you, if any of this is a part of your life, it's leading you to a path of destruction. And in that path, you're not going to find life. You're going to find death. And isn't it true? Isn't it true? You, if you've ever walked through some of those issues in life, you can meet people all the time. I speak with people all the time who've gone through those situations. You know, maybe they were an alcoholic and they look for alcohol. And the reason they drank, it started as something simple to fit in or socially. But what happened is the alcohol consumed them and they drank for peace. They drank for comfort, to wash their fear, or to make them feel good, to find a place of feeling whole. Those involved in drugs, same thing. They want to hit that high where they no longer have a problem. But what do you find? At the beginning of every high is a deeper low, because it never brings fulfillment. And that's what Paul's trying to say. It's not going to bring fulfillment. And as a matter of fact, it leads to destruction, and it's going to bring destruction in your life. But because God is a loving God, he's going to allow everybody to make their own choice and follow whatever path they want, because he created you in his image and you have a free will. He'll never make you serve him. He'll never force you to serve him. It's a choice you have to make. But what he is trying to make clear to you, that's a path that leads to destruction. If you follow that path, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. But in verse 22, he says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. There is no law against these things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed their passions and desires of their sinful nature to the cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives, and let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. So in other words, verse 19 through 23 is kind of like a spiritual litmus test. It's a spiritual litmus test in your life. You've done those litmus tests, and remember in school, you dip that little tab down into the different acids, and you try to discover what the acidity and all these different these tests. Well, it's a spiritual litmus test in your life. It's saying if these are the elements coming out of you, then you need to, something. Warning bells should be going off. If these are the desires you have, something should be clicking inside of you. That's a path of destruction. That's a path of destruction. What I need out of me is the fruit of the Spirit, which leads to life. How do I find that? By following Christ and spending time with him. If you would like to read deeper into this, Romans chapter 6, 7, and 8 is essentially a deep understanding of Galatians 5. Paul kind of expounds on it in Romans 6, 7, and 8. So I encourage you, as we do all the time, don't ever just take my word. You need to study the word for yourself. And that's one of the ways you connect to Christ and discover by discovering him and spending time with him. But let me just read a small bit of that in Romans 6, 12. He says, "Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires, and do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourselves completely to God, for you were dead, but now you have new life. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Well then, since God's grace has set us free from the law, does that mean we can go on sinning? Of course not. Don't you realize that you become a slave to whatever you choose to obey?" I mean, there it is. Whatever you choose to obey is what you become a slave to. And he says, you can be a slave to sin, which leads to death, or you can choose to obey God, which leads to righteous living. So in other words, in your life, in order to walk in the Spirit, you have a choice to make. You can choose to walk in the way of the world, or you can choose to walk in the way of the Lord. But it's simply up to you. But if you want to walk in the Spirit, if you want the Holy Spirit to guide your life, then you have to. You have to spend time in his word. You have to get close to him. What do I do? By spending time with him, that means praying, reading the word of God, discovering who he is. But if you're here today and you're wondering, maybe you're lost, you're in that moment where you're in the woods, your compass is spinning, you don't have service on your phone, you can't find direction, God is trying to get your attention. He's trying to show you very clearly that the way you find that is by coming to him, letting the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Jesus said it like this. Several times he said, "He who has an ear to the Spirit, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." In Revelations, when it talks to all seven churches, in Revelations 1 through 3, it ends each church of the seven churches. It says, "He who has an ear to the Spirit, let him hear what the Spirit is saying." God is speaking to you. And part of growing in Christ, part of developing a relationship with him, is learning to listen to his voice. Now, I've shared it many times. My kids, as they begin to grow up, they say, "You know, God's never spoke to me. I've never heard that deep voice." And you're like, "Well, I haven't either. You know, thank God. What would we do if Jesus showed up glimmering with Elijah and Moses, right?" You'd be like, you know, we'd fall to our default. But the reality is God speaks to you through his word and speaks to you through your heart. That still small voice, that counselor inside that says, "Hey, what should I do? How should I respond?" And if you want to defeat Satan, if you want to recognize today that in this life of spiritual world that we're in, it's real. The spirit world is real. But you have authority in Christ. So know how your enemy is attacking you. Know how he attacks you. Be prepared. Have the word of God in your heart. Put on the armor of God. Be prepared for battle. Attack first. Don't just take a hit. Give the hit. But begin to walk in the Spirit. by discovering him, by spending time with him, developing a relationship with him. Would you close your eyes today and reflect on that? You see, the most effective way to defeat Satan is to walk in the Spirit and letting the Holy Spirit guide your life. That's how you defeat him. But maybe you're here today and he's whooping on you. He's been attacking you. Your enemy has been after you. Maybe beyond that, maybe you're just not prepared. And you're not even worried about attacking first or walking in the Spirit because you're not at a place where you know Christ or you're in a relationship with him. And we never want to close a service without giving you that opportunity. If you're here today and maybe you're lost, you're like in the woods, you're trying to find your way. Maybe at one point you knew your way, you knew how to get there, you knew the path, but life has just brought distractions. Life happens, doesn't it? It brings distractions on all of us. And maybe you're going through a point where you're lost in your life and you have distractions all around. And you need direction. I'm here today to tell you Jesus is that direction. He is the way, the truth, and life. And the Bible tells us no one can come to the Father except through him. In other words, you won't find peace in any other element. You won't find fulfillment in any other element. You can try, but you won't find it. It's simply not there. The only peace, the only joy you'll ever find comes through knowing Christ. And if you're here today and you've never accepted him, or maybe you've accepted him, but life has happened and you've walked away and you want to give your life to him today, you want to dedicate your life to him, we want to give you that chance. With no one looking around, out of respect for others, we're not going to call you out and embarrass you. I simply want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Right where you're sitting, I want to pray a prayer with you. But if you're here today and you're saying, you know what? I need Jesus in my life. With no one looking around, I want you to make eye contact with me right now. I want to pray with you right where you're sitting. Anybody here today? Amen. Anyone else? You're saying, I need Jesus in my life. Anybody else? Just make eye contact with me. Whether you're rededicating your life to him or for the first time, just saying, hey, pray for me. Anybody else? Amen. Anyone else? Amen. Anyone else? Anybody else? Let's pray. In Romans chapter 10, it tells us that if you confess with your mouth and believe with all your heart that Jesus is Lord, then you are saved. And so if you're believing that today, if you've responded today, then we're going to pray and we're going to believe that God's going to meet you right where you are. But if you're here today and you've already accepted Christ as your Savior, then maybe you want to encourage the other people. So I'm going to ask that we all repeat this prayer. If you've accepted Christ, let it be a reminder of what he's done for you. But for those of you that have responded today, let it be your prayer. That's the belief, but then you confess with your mouth, but then you believe it by living a life for him. But let's all pray today. Let's pray. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you today, and I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again for me. And now today, I choose to live for you. Take my life. Help me to walk in the Spirit and be prepared. In Jesus' name.